Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Wednesday on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Ethan Burdett over there in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B. It is Wednesday, July 28th. More on that date in just a moment. Day 190 of America Held Hostage, show number 4516. It is great to be with you. We'll tell you about the show in just a minute. Our verse of the day, 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29. Brothers and sisters, I could go all preacher on you. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. But I'll just keep it straight. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. The devotional guide here says, feeling a little washed up lately? God isn't asking you to float the boat, but to show up with what you have and allow him to provide the impossible. Jesus Christ was and is the radical game changer. As we fully commit our life to his teaching and become open to God's Spirit, he uses us in wild and impossible ways. Sometimes it's our imperfections which make us the perfect vessel for God's message. Give God what you have, and watch how he uses his perfection to make you seaworthy. What a message if you're feeling a little washed ashore, right? If you're feeling like you're taking on water and you're not quite where you want to be, you're feeling bad about yourself, there's a scripture that says, in our weakness, he, God, is made strong. I love the It's a classic story. I mean, you see it in stores from time to time. It's been around for years. It's called Footprints in the Sand. And there's two footprints. And it represents a guy's life. And in this little mini parable, this guy says, you know, Lord, I see my life there. And why is it when my life went through its most difficult times, why was there only one set of footprints? Where'd you go? Jesus said, my friend, there's one set of footprints because that is when I was carrying you. Ooh, yeah. Encouragement, my friends. That is when you are carried. So trust God. There's your verse of the day. Today's program, you might as well just call this the COVID edition of the morning show. Now, we will have Mayor John Daley of Tallahassee in the second hour, Mayor Greg Brudnicki of Panama City in the third hour. But the big story in the press box and the subsequent stories surrounding it all deal with COVID in one form or another, because we're back at it. Our kids are under assault. The pressure's back on. Hospitals are blowing up. It's all the fault of anyone who's not unvaccinated. If you haven't been vaccinated, it's your fault. This is strictly your fault. Well, we're going to get to some of that. We're also going to get to the legal issues that are cropping up as the Department of Justice has dared say that, yes, you can be forced to be vaccinated or lose your job. Matt Staver of the Liberty Council is one of the more successful attorneys in our country in Supreme Court cases. And a frequent guest on this show, Matt has a very different opinion. And I will simply tell you that Matt and Liberty Counsel win most every case they involve themselves in. And I trust his legal opinion over the current Department of Justice. And we'll get his opinion live in the third hour of the morning show with Preston Scott. 10 minutes.
Tall? The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
If I had a picture of Ethan's face in there, what's happening to me?
I'm having a rough start. I'm sorry.
Do you need a Dr. Pepper? We got a Dr. Pepper in here. Come on in,
I'm gonna get some caffeine.
Get a little Dr. Pepper. Come on in here. Get a Dr. Pepper, a Coca-Cola. Have yourself some caffeine, sir. All right. He's entering Studio 1B to grab himself some help. Break in case of emergency. That's what he's got right here in his hands. It is July 28th. Because you need a sip of that, because I'm quizzing you here. You're going to take part in a quiz. On July 28th, 1896, the Hamlet of Miami, or as Dr. Ed Moore calls it, Miami, was incorporated with a population of just a few hundred people. By 1900, it had more than 1,600 residents. By 1910, the population had reached nearly 5,500. By 1925, a new subdivision, resorts were built. It had soared to more than 100,000. The city changed so fast, people said it was growing like magic. Miami became known as the Magic City. That's where it comes from. Americans love to give them some nicknames to their cities and towns. So I'm going to give a nickname, and you tell me what city it is. Some of these are easy. Some of them may not be. You ready?
Oh, boy.
Beantown. Some of these are going to date you. That's the problem. Some of these people my generation know like the back of their hand. And so they're not teaching this stuff anymore. Boston. Boston is known as Beantown. The Windy City.
That's Seattle, ain't it?
Chicago.
Chicago?
Chicago. The Big D.
San Diego?
The Big D? Dallas.
Oh, Dallas.
The Mile High City.
Mile High City, that's either New York or L.A.
Nope. Denver.
Oh, well, that makes sense. The city's literally
Motown, Motor City.
Motown, that's Detroit.
There you go, City of Angels.
City of Angels.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's LA.
Yeah.
That's where the Angels play. Yeah.
Brew City.
Brew City?
Think baseball.
St. Louis?
Think baseball.
No.
Milwaukee, the Brewers.
Oh.
Music City.
Nashville.
There you go.
Yeah.
The Big Easy.
The Big Easy?
Yeah.
No idea.
That would be New Orleans. The Big Apple.
That's New York.
City of Brotherly Love.
Philly.
Steel City. Think Pittsburgh. NFL.
That's Pittsburgh.
There you go. Gateway to the West.
Gateway to the West.
Think of the Arch. St. Louis.
Yeah.
St. Louis was the original gateway to the West, and so it's kept the moniker.
Doesn't that stem back from like the Lewis and Clark?
Exactly. Exactly. City by the Bay.
City by the Bay, San Francisco Bay.
There you go. And the Emerald City. You've already mentioned it. Emerald City. That would be Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Seattle, which, by the way, their defund the police movement has gone woefully bad, and the mayor is begging for police officers. It's comical. Comical. We'll get to that story, maybe not today, but tomorrow. So it was on this date in 1896, the city of Miami, was incorporated. I always make fun of Ed when he says it. He's got to the point where he just waves me off. Yeah. Let's see. On this date, 1932, President Herbert Hoover orders the U.S. Army to evict the bonus army of World War I veterans who had gathered in Washington, D.C. seeking cash payments for bonus certificates the government had issued. 1945, U.S. Army bomber crashes into the 79th floor of the fog-shrouded Empire State Building, killing more than a dozen. How about that? An accident. Plane flew into the Empire State Building, a U.S. bomber. Man. Check your altimeter, fellas. 16 minutes after the hour, come back. I've got some email that came in yesterday that I want to share with you today. And always remember, you can write me, Preston, at iHeartRadio.com.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
An iHeart's radio station.
Get through today, but it's, with the exception of my visits with the mayors, a lot of it surrounds COVID. It is the unavoidable topic. It is the elephant in the room right now. And while I would love to talk about the Capitol Inquisition that is underway, they've turned this, and they're trying to turn it into something it wasn't. This was an effort. This was not an effort to overthrow the country. It's not even close to that. There were some knuckleheads, and you deal with them, and you move along, and you let the rest of these people go about their life. And there are things to talk about there, how Nancy Pelosi has rigged this entire thing to once again make it seem as though Donald Trump was behind some effort to overthrow the election. That isn't at all the truth. Donald Trump's words are well known. They are what they are. He never ever incited anything. And so the two Republicans that Pelosi puts on the committee, the fact-finding committee, are two Republicans who hate Donald Trump. She kicked off the person that was going to ask questions about what she knew in advance. What did you know, Madam Speaker? In advance, what intelligence reports did you have? Did you know that there were FBI agents embedded in that group that were, in fact, leading the charge into the Capitol? Did you know that? When did you know that? She kicked him off the committee because he was going to ask those questions. So we'll get into all that tomorrow because I felt like the COVID stuff was pressing, and it has become a tsunami. Email came in yesterday on a couple of different topics. This person wants to remain anonymous because of their work, and so I'll just read the bulk of what was written. I was listening this morning to your comments on the Governor DeSantis lawsuit over ending the additional unemployment benefits because of all the available employment currently offered in the state. I agree with his stance on this and with your commentary. I was wondering if this might set a precedent for any young, healthy, able-bodied people who are currently receiving welfare, food stamps, government housing, or any number of benefits given to the, quote, less fortunate, end quote, to be taken off the government dole because of opportunities for them to acquire employment. I don't understand why we have people who can work on government assistance. I never understood the fact that one can purchase junk food or several other splurge types of food with food stamps. I feel that the list of goods that can be purchased with food stamps should be similar to the WIC list of approved foods. When Michelle Obama tried to make the country healthier with better choices for school lunches, she should have noticed the already overweight families using their food stamps at the grocery store for purchasing name brand sodas, Twinkies, that were loaded with sugar. Just my 2 cents and my beef a few days early. Anything in his commentary that's incorrect? Is there anything wrong with that analysis? Then there's this one. Jay wrote in, I know I'm beating a dead horse, but the hypocrisy and propaganda coming from the left is off the charts. Not a peep from the left and their media accomplices regarding the largest super spreader event ever, known as open border policies, contributing to the recent rise in COVID across our great nation. Numbers I've seen show approximately 30% of the people crossing our border are COVID positive. That's the ones we've tested. They're being shipped all over the nation and likely starting outbreaks everywhere. Where's the outcry? Until recently, super spreader events were broadly criticized. Now, with the Dems in charge, nobody seems to care. Are they simply trying to keep our nation living in fear and the virus propaganda high so they can utilize the same voter fraud in the 2022 midterm? I scratch my head. He raises two excellent points. What about the Dems jumping on the airplane spreading COVID? Remember that? Maskless? Leaving Texas to not vote? All the Democrats in the state legislature fled the state and went to Washington, D.C. They started spreading COVID. How about the fact that 70% of the illegals immigrating into the country on the Texas border are saying they're coming to Florida? Is that why Florida has more cases? Just asking. 27 past the hour.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I am fair. I am good. I'm a happy example.
Glenn is on 9 to noon.
I am stronger every day
on WFLA.
All right, before we get to the big story in the press box, good morning and welcome to the morning show with Preston Scott. I'm Preston. That's Ethan. Simone Biles is an amazing gymnast, perhaps the best ever. Perhaps. But if she was in such a stressed mental state, feeling as though the entire weight of the world, the country, was on her shoulders, why did you take up a spot if you didn't want to compete? Now, I'm struggling with this just a little bit. And There are a few people that would have loved that spot on the Olympic team that would have loved to have competed in the all-around. And I understand, well, someone will step up and fill her role. Maybe. But then that person steps up and that opens up a spot on the team for somebody that didn't make the team. Do you see my point? Injuries, those happen. Can't do anything about it. I still remember Kerry Strug from that Olympic team with Mary Lou Retton competing and winning gold with basically a broken ankle. And I'm not suggesting that anyone should compete through injury. I am suggesting that mental health in the midst of the competition, when you've competed internationally at the highest level most of your adult life, and even as a junior, I'm sorry. I call me heartless. I think that's wrong. If she was so burdened, she should have stepped off the team. That frustrates me. I start to wonder if, in fact, the fall that she took was more the impetus to suddenly feeling the pressure. You know, when you make mistakes, you blame it on a lot of things instead of just saying, I screwed up. Had a bad meet. Sometimes you find a way to cover your pride. I don't know. I'm struggling with that. But anyway, the Department of Justice declares the vaccine mandates legal. And I'm quoting the Department of Justice statement. As access to COVID-19 vaccines has become widespread, numerous educational institutions, employers, and other entities across the United States have announced they will require individuals to be vaccinated against COVID-19 as a condition of employment, enrollment, participation, or some other benefit, service, relationship, or access. For instance, certain schools will require vaccination in order for students to attend class in person. Certain employers will require vaccination as a condition of employment. In the opinion of the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel, the emergency use authorizations does not prohibit public or private entities from imposing vaccine requirements, even when the only vaccines available are those authorized under EUAs. Wow, that's interesting, because that's not at all what the law says. It's not at all. The law is very clear. According to the authorization of emergency use, EAU, people must be told the risks and benefits and that they have a right to decline the medication that is not fully licensed. And that is the case for all of the vaccines. There are religious exemptions as well that they're ignoring. But shots cannot be mandated or administered without the free and full consent of the individual. That's the law. Now, I have a theory about this. I'm going to get to that next here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You don't have to love him. Just like him on Facebook at Preston Scott Show.
Minutes after the hour here on The Morning Show. Before we get to some data in a peer-reviewed compilation by Dr. Genevieve Briand of Johns Hopkins University, I wanted to offer just a thought here on what I believe is behind the philosophy of the Department of Justice under Joe Biden. Do it until. Whatever it is, do it until you're stopped. I'm going to ask Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel in 2 hours. Is there a reason in a case like this that involves public health that there is not a lever that forces court review first. Historically, courts only intervene after there is damage, after there is a party that has standing. Well, you could be right, but we got to wait and see. It would seem that public health would bypass that. It would seem to me that the Department of Justice would have to go to court, federal court, and perhaps directly to the United States Supreme Court before this type of opinion is considered. I mean, you've got the VA, you've got New York and California, all three large government entities wanting to go in the direction of mandating vaccines. I mean, honestly, it's in Florida state law right now because of Jeb Bush. He signed it back maybe 2002, something like that, and it was uncovered. It was blamed on Ron DeSantis, but it wasn't DeSantis that put it in there. DeSantis was being slammed by the Alex Jonesites out there. He snuck it in there. He's not trustworthy. No, he didn't. His staff blew it. His staff made a mistake, and they didn't catch it. But because of you, I have forwarded the information to state lawmakers, and they are crafting legislation to remove it in the next session. So thank you, and you're welcome. That's, but here's going back to my point. The Democrats' philosophy is they'll do anything they can, whether it's legal or not, until they're stopped. It doesn't matter. And I wonder why there isn't a mechanism in place for this to be ruled on first, whether it's legal or not. Why should there have to be a damaged party? Why should someone have to go through the litigation and the hassle of dealing with that? Why shouldn't this be settled first before enacted? Just a thought. Now, yesterday, we talked about the paper done by Dr. Genevieve Briand of Johns Hopkins University, and it is a completed peer review from March. It is appearing in Primary Doctor Medical Journal. The editors, she's, by the way, in applied economics. She crunches numbers for a living. And the summary statement by the editors says this. Dr. Briand's paper examines morbidity and mortality weekly report data published by the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, of select causes of death in 2020 to determine which, if any, other causes of death might have attributed mistakenly to COVID-19. Heart disease, chronic lower respiratory disease, influenza, pneumonia as cause of death showed the most anomalous and unlikely decline from prior years. As a result, the 1% of the U.S. population that died in 2020 is similar to the 0.8-0.9% of the U.S. population that died in each of the previous 20 years. I have another set of data here that shows the cause of deaths in, I'm guessing, Alachua County, published by the Alachua Chronicle. A newspaper grabbed it. All of the deaths I have holding in my hand are attributed to COVID. But yet it's coronary artery disease. There's cancer. There's cardiac arrest. And they listed all these people as dying of COVID. 7%, ladies and gentlemen. 7% is the actual number of deaths. I stand by that. 46 minutes after the hour.
You're there quickly and safely. Traffic and weather on the 10s. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes after the hour here on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Ethan Burdett in Studio 1A running the program in place of Grant Allen, who will be back on Friday. We were talking about Dr. Genevieve Briand of Johns Hopkins University, who released data. She's not a medical doctor. She looks at data, crunches numbers. And her point is that the impact of COVID-19 as a high mortality pandemic is not reflected in the demographic data. Now, just for a second here, hear me out. Just hear me out. You hear me talk about the need to reverse engineer things. All of the actions going on with regard to schools and masks and vaccine forcing and so forth, back it out. If what we have is in fact a bad flu, and there's no doubt it is, but numerically, that's it. If the death numbers are what they would be for a bad flu season, the overall deaths in America are right on par with what they've been for the last 20 years annually. Doesn't that inform the measures that we're taking here? Relax. Be smart. Wash your hands. Do the appropriate things. Live your life. Then there's this op-ed by Johns Hopkins faculty member Marty McCary, who wrote last week in the Wall Street Journal. I want you to listen very carefully to this. This is information for all of you parents that are wondering how to perceive everything with regard to children and masks and so forth. The official position of Johns Hopkins Center for Disease Control is that kids should be vaccinated if they're 12 and over. But there's a member of Johns Hopkins, Marty McCary. He and a research team reviewed 48,000 cases of children under the age of 18 that had COVID between April and August of last year. The report he wrote found, listen, a rate of zero among children, a mortality rate of zero among children without pre-existing medical conditions such as leukemia. Children with no pre-existing conditions under the age of 18, not one single child died in that study. 48,000. Not one. Overall, the CDC reported that 335 children with COVID diagnoses died, yet the CDC, which has 21,000 employees, didn't research each death to find out whether COVID caused it or if it involved pre-existing medical conditions. McCary, a professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, I've written hundreds of peer-reviewed medical studies, and I can think of no journal editor who would accept the claim that 335 deaths resulted from a virus without data to indicate if the virus was incidental or causal, and without an analysis of relevant risk factors such as obesity. It's just another point of data. Follow the science. When we come back, the mayor of Tallahassee, John Daly, joins me for a chat. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And here we go. Hour number two. The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Good morning. Ethan Burdett in for Grant Allen in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B, day 190 of America Held Hostage, day 4516 of the radio program. It is Wednesday, July 28th. I cannot believe we're going to end another month. Of course, you know we are now in Christmas shopping season. July is the official start of Christmas shopping season for yours truly. And so, as Kay Kringle, I declare that so for all of you. And it's a pleasure to have with me. You know, John Daly, the mayor of Tallahassee. John, I've had a lot of people roll out reasons why they had to duck out of an interview, but I got to tell you, you rolled out the best ever last month, Vacation Bible School. I am proud of you, brother. Proud of you.
Well, I've done it every year, literally, since my boys have qualified for VBS. You know how they just, we have a hard time getting dads and male leaders to go and volunteer, and so I've done it every year, and I really enjoy it. Good morning, Preston.
Good morning. No, I'm seriously proud of you, sir, for those exact reasons, because it's like there aren't many guys that teach kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth grade, and male role models matter. And so, sincerely, when I heard that's why you couldn't be with me last month, I smiled from ear to ear. I was just, that made my heart happy, John. I'll be honest with you.
Well, I appreciate it. They put me in this year. They plugged me in as the PE coach, which, you know, I'm not exactly the billboard for perfect health, but we went out and ran some laps for Jesus and had a great time.
There you go. There you go. Hey,
Hey, hold on real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Christmas shopping season already, Preston?
July, buddy. It starts in July. Haven't you ever seen QVC? QVC, man, they started it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
No, my radar goes up in July. I start keeping an eye on things. Just, you know, I'm constantly looking for cues from my family on things that would bless them. And so, yeah, I'm one of those guys that budgets. Instead of dropping money at 1 month, I try to string it out over several months to help the budget. And so that's what we do around our place.
No, that makes sense. I will tell you that I am also guilty of every now and then. I do the same thing, actually. I kind of keep my eyes and ears open all year long. And, you know, my boys are at that age where they might say something in February about something. And, you know, so I'll go and I'll pick it up. I'll just stick it in the closet. And then, you know, the holidays roll around and they open it up. And they're like, what's this? I was like, but you mentioned it like 9 months ago.
Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. And then they're like, whoa, you don't miss anything. I think it's great.
Right.
All right, let's talk about a few things here. There's a North Monroe Corridor Task Force. They're going to talk about homelessness, but that North Monroe Corridor, John, as you know, has had a 21% spike in crime over the last couple years, and there does seem to be some kind of nexus with the homelessness issue in that part of the city that has grown since the pandemic. My question is this, is the money that's going to the different organizations that the city and the county fund as it deals with homelessness, and I know this sounds harsh, but do you think it's being well spent?
I do. I think that we've had a – by the way, that's a great question, Preston, and you're absolutely right. It's taken us years to get to where we are. We're not going to be able to solve this issue overnight. We're going to have to build upon incremental successes as we go along, and we have to define those successes. I do think that we've got incredible organizations that are doing really good work in this realm. Part of the problem was the COVID issue last year, where the shelter put individuals, I believe, in to the hotels and motels.
Yep.
That I think also led to some of these problems. Now that is my understanding, is not going on anymore, that might alleviate some of the issues that we've been dealing with, because now they're back to normal operations at the shelter, which works as well. But, you know, look, we've got trafficking issues that we're focusing on. We've got the homeless issues that we're focusing on. Yes, we've got the crime issues that we're focusing on. We also have the mental health issues that we're desperately focusing on. One of the reasons why I proposed the new team, which consists of, you know, police department, mental health professional, and a paramedic on site, is that a lot of times also when we have the law enforcement 911 call response, it's not a law enforcement issue per se to start with. It's a mental health issue.
Hang on, John. We got to stop right there. Got weather and traffic, back with more. We're going to pick up right there with Mayor John Daly on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Justice and the American way. Like Superman, only with a microphone. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
11 minutes after the hour, Mayor John Daly with me. We were talking about the North Monroe Corridor Task Force. They're going to focus in August on homelessness. 21% spike in crime in the last couple of years along that North Monroe Corridor. And, Mayor, you were talking about the mental health component in this.
Yes, sir. So there's a mental health component. There's a physical health component. There's a homeless component. There's a trafficking component. There's a law enforcement component. I'm proud of the county's task force for taking a hard look. There's an economic development component, quite frankly, as well. So, yes, we are extremely well aware of what's going on in North Monroe. We are working hard to address the issues. As I said before the break, Preston, this did not happen overnight. We're not going to solve this overnight. It's going to take time, but we're dedicated to doing so.
It is in the news. It's probably the biggest story locally, and you know it's the trial of J.T. Burnett, and I know there are things you just can't talk about and say because it's inappropriate to do so. But is it too early to talk about lessons learned from this entirety of what the FBI did uncover, whether, you know, we find guilty pleadings at the very least? We know that there are some guilty pleadings, but we also know that it had uncovered some issues within the city.
I think that it is appropriate for us, back up, as mayor, it is appropriate for me to sit down and pay attention to what's going on. Obviously, you are correct. It would be inappropriate for me to comment in any shape or form on the trial itself until it's over. Yes, I believe that there are lessons learned. I also believe that the city has taken very proactive steps since I first got elected, before the trial even began. For instance, you know, we passed the strongest ethics reform package in the 198-year history of the city of Tallahassee, and the strongest ethics reform package of any municipality in the state of Florida. That is something I'm proud of. That is something the people wanted and we needed in Tallahassee. Are we done? No. Is there more things that could possibly be done? Absolutely. Should we listen to the lessons learned? Absolutely. Do we know all the lessons learned? Nah, trial's still going on. I do think, though, that I agree with the general sentiment. I'm ready for the trial to be over. I'm ready to move forward. We do have a lot of great things going on in Tallahassee that I also hope that we can highlight and concentrate on, because this is a beautiful town and we love living in this great city.
I agree with you, John. I think, and you and I have talked about this, I have concerns because there are some people still in positions that are appointed that were here during all of these things that have been questioned and brought up by the FBI investigation. So let me ask a very pointed question this way. Is there a decision has a decision been made that the commission, along with appointed staff, will meet after all of the trials, however many there may be, whether this is the last one or there are others to follow? Will there be kind of a debrief roundtable? Let's look at what went wrong and let's make sure we don't have it happen again. Is there a plan for that, John?
No, there's no plan for that because we have all been under strict advice from the city attorney not to address any aspects of the trial while it's going on.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But right. Is there a plan to do that when the trials are over?
There has been no plan discussed amongst us, but I'm sure that we'll get together in a formal matter at some point, or that it will come up at a city commission meeting, or new ideas will be generated on how to move this city forward. So while there is no plan in place, Preston, it wouldn't surprise me if we headed down a lessons learned path.
Would you support that idea?
Sure. Anytime we can make our city better. I think that we should have open conversations. You know, in the state of Florida, everything has to be done in the sunshine.
Sure.
Has to be properly noticed. You have to have the citizens participate. So it's not like it happens on the fly. I think that frustrates people sometimes. They're like, trial's over. How come you're not getting together right now? But, yeah, I think that any time that we can generate better ideas in a positive manner to move this city forward, absolutely we should have those discussions and entertain all great ideas.
Mayor John Daly with me when we come back. Questions about the fire service fee. We'll also talk about the 2022 capital budget and more on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
And iHeart's radio station.
Back with the mayor of Tallahassee for another segment. Mayor John Daly with us this morning on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Mayor, a request for an audit on the fire service fees. I know there are things you cannot talk about at that on this issue as well. But can you talk about the use of fire service fee money? Are you confident that the money has been used for Tallahassee Fire Department and related expenses?
Yeah, I am confident that's been used for Tallahassee Fire Department and fire expenses, and I'm glad that we're doing the audit. You know, every single aspect of municipal government should be audited on a regular basis. Every aspect of our budget should be audited on a regular basis. I'm pleased that the city manager asked for the audit and that the auditor general will be moving forward with an outside auditor to conduct the audit. I do think that, and let me be clear, I, you know, very well aware of the ethics complaint that's been filed. And I love the men and women at the fire department. They do a great job. You know, I think our city manager is doing a great job. I do think that there might be some confusion in regards to budgeting, that once we all sit down and talk, it'll be clarified. But, you know, budgeting is not easy with all the rules and regs that we have to follow on the state and on the federal level. Sometimes it gets complicated. But I do feel comfortable with the budget as set up for the fire services fee.
But this is not necessarily real complicated, this part of it. It's not like, for example, and we've talked about this in the past, the city takes money from the utility and transfers a portion of that revenue into the general budget. By law, that's not allowed with a fire service fee. That money has to stay. So it's not that complicated with that. I would think it's going to be a pretty straightforward audit.
Yes, sir. And so what's going on is that let's take my office budget, for instance. OK, if I have a problem with the computers in my office, I have to call the IT department. The IT department, which is a general services department of the city of Tallahassee, will come up and they will fix the computers, fix the problem that's going on in the office. You know, that service costs something. And so there's interdepartmental transfers that take place.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, we would pay the IT department to have those services done. The airport will pay the IT department for all of the IT needs at the airport. The police department will pay the IT department for all work that's done for IT at the police department. The fire department is no different. What is different is the source of the revenue that funds their budget.
Exactly.
So I think that can add some confusion. is that should fire services fees be going only for fire support services? Absolutely. But the IT department of the fire department is fire support services. Therefore, yes, the IT department would be paid from fire services fees. Again, I'm getting down in the weeds. I know it gets complicated. I do feel comfortable with the way how the budget is set up. And I think that the audit will show that.
The 2022 capital budget, you're looking at about $270+ million for 2022, about $1 billion over the next 5 years. Tops on that list, infrastructure projects?
Infrastructure projects, economic development projects. I'm proud, and I will be first to tell you that, yes, Preston, while we are not increasing the millage rate in Tallahassee, I am aware that property taxes will increase because of the value of property. But we were able to maintain the millage rate. It's a solid budget. Your city is fiscally healthy, which is important, especially during these trying times. And so we're moving forward with a strong budget based off of a strategic plan for the next 5 years that will help guide this city.
What would you say to people that say, well, you should have invoked the rollback rate because you just gave out raises to people in the city, and, you know, there are a lot of people in the city that didn't get raises over the last year?
Actually, everybody in the city government itself did not get a raise last year. That's why we did give a raise this year. And let me tell you something. I'll be the first to say, the men and women that were driving the Star Metro buses during COVID, helping other people get around, they deserve a raise. Absolutely. We have it tiered so that those that are making the least amount on an annual basis will be rewarded through a raise the most. And it's the appropriate way to do it. I will also say that, sure, we always look at the rollback rate. Problem is, when we look at the cost of construction as one example, you know, commodity prices have skyrocketed. Look at the volatility of the market in regards to lumber when it costs to build. And so, yes, there are different things that go into all of decisions on whether to go with the rollback rate, whether to maintain the millage rate, whether to raise the millage rate. And this year, we decided to maintain the millage rate.
John, as always, thanks for the time. We'll talk again next month.
Yes, sir. You take care, Preston.
Thank you. Mayor John Daly with me this morning on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Listen to your opinions and tell you you're wrong. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
35 minutes after the hour in the Morning Show with Preston Scott, Panama City, Greg Brodnicki next hour. The big story in the press box this morning on the radio program is the Department of Justice. According to DOJ, federal law does not prohibit public agencies and private businesses from requiring a vaccine. Now, that's interesting. That is interesting. And by vaccine, we're talking about vaccines that are under emergency use authorization. The Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, State of California, State of New York, all going the route of mandating vaccines for state employees and perhaps pushing it upon businesses. And in total fairness, it's important to note that inside the vaccine passport ban that Governor Ron DeSantis signed a few weeks ago, there is in that very law the legal authority for the state of Florida to force a vaccine on you. Now, unfortunately, because of people like Alex Jones who don't properly do their research and inflame things without digging, they blamed it on DeSantis. In fairness, it was not Governor DeSantis that put it in. That was there because of Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush signed that law back in, I think it was 2002. I know because state lawmakers, who I brought the issue to because of you, did research and found the origination of that language, which authorizes law enforcement to help medical professionals. Now, that's going to be addressed here in Florida. It wasn't Governor DeSantis that had anything to do with that, but his staff should be dinged for not catching it. It's a big bill. It's a big law that existed, and they simply tagged onto it the vaccine passport ban. But if you can be forced to have a vaccine, well, I mean, that sort of negates a little bit of the power of that in some way, shape, or form. But anyway, we're going to correct that here in Florida. But according to the opinion by the Department of Justice legal counsel, emergency use authorizations, EUAs, does not prohibit public or private entities from imposing vaccine requirements, even when the only vaccines available are those authorized under EUAs. That's just factually wrong. And here's and we're going to talk to Matt Staver, who has talked about this. He's with Liberty Counsel. We've had Matt on the program. Matt is the founder and the chairman, lead counsel. They don't lose cases. They just don't. I mean, they've lost a case here or there, but they don't lose. And he issued a statement yesterday saying this is flat wrong. It is. And therein is the strategy revealed by Democrats. And Democrats are running all agencies. That's elections have consequences. And some of you that thought Donald Trump was too mean, there you go. Here's a consequence. The Justice Department was bad under Trump. It's worse under Biden. But what they do, Democrats do, is they do whatever they want to do only to be told by the courts later, oh, you can't do that. But the damage gets done for however long it gets done. And sadly, there should be a mechanism in place that allows us to challenge this before there's a needless victim. Why should we have to wait for someone to be forced to have a vaccine to keep their employment, then get sick and or die? There are problems with the vaccines. They haven't ironed out all the wrinkles yet. There are issues with blood clotting. There are issues for teenagers. There are issues for some people. But the fact is, why should we have to wait for a victim before we get a legal rendering on whether what the Department of Justice is saying is legal? We got more data to back up my opinion on this whole COVID thing and some thoughts on that. A little analysis next on The Morning Show.
Giving you the facts. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Me in the midst of the show writing a reply to an email. Preston at iHeartRadio.com. All right, we shared this ever so briefly yesterday, and I promised I would talk about it some more today. Dr. Genevieve Briand, PhD, Johns Hopkins University. She is a doctor of applied economics and advanced academic programs at Johns Hopkins. She did a number crunching here. The paper that is published, peer-reviewed and published by Primary Doctor Medical Journal, Spring 2021 edition, examines morbidity and mortality weekly report data published by the CDC of select causes of death. And let me just kind of get to the heart of this all. Heart disease, chronic lower respiratory disease, influenza, pneumonia as cause of death showed the most anomalous and unlikely decline from prior years, even as the U.S. population increased, while COVID deaths rose by a similar quantity to the sum of declines of several death causes. As a result, the 1% of the U.S. population that died in 2020 is similar to the 0.8 to 0.9% of the U.S. population that died during each of the previous 20 years. Considering a seasonally, from week 33 of 1 year to week 32 of the next, each seasonally based year for the last 4 years, encompassing the COVID-19 mortality shows that 0.9% of the U.S. population died in each of those seasonally based years. They go on to say, excluding New York City, New Jersey, and to a lesser extent bordering states from all cause weekly deaths, no evidence appears of pandemic mortality in the U.S. in 2020. The impact of COVID-19 as a high mortality pandemic is not reflected in the demographic data. And the point of the paper, according to the editors, is to inform governmental, institutional, cultural, medical, individual responses to disease outbreaks moving forward. And that's been my point. If you take into account that the CDC changed all of its rules and recommendations to medical examiners and coroners across the country in the middle of the pandemic, saying this is how we're going to report deaths in the pandemic, and they abandoned all of the rules over the last two decades, which included various flu viruses and outbreaks. If you take that change, if they had gone by what they had done the previous two decades, the death numbers would be 7% of what's reported. Let's just do some quick math here. Deaths in U.S. from COVID. 611,000 as of now. All right. So, pull out my handy-dandy calculator here, and 611,000 times 0.07, 42,000. And it's over, and we're now well past a year. So, if you go for a year, 35,000 deaths. 36,000 deaths. A bad flu season. If you take that into account and you look at all of the overreactions we are in the midst of, and then you accept masks don't work, I'm just asking you to think through it all. Big picture, common sense. We'll get to another perspective on this as well from another expert at Johns Hopkins University, 46 minutes after the hour.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes after the hour, I want you to consider for just one second that Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Andrew Cuomo, and others, other notable Democrats across the country, publicly stated and I'm going to just generalize all of their individual comments into one general statement. The vaccine developed under the Trump administration is not trustworthy. And until it's signed off by the FDA, until it has trials, until we don't trust it. Nope, not going to do it. It's the exact same vaccine right now that was passed under Donald Trump's administration that got tested. Remember Operation Warp Speed and so forth? Same ones. Suddenly, the same people are telling you, you have to get this vaccine. And you wonder why there's not trust in the government. Now, if you sit with your physician and you feel as though it is the right thing for you to do because of underlying health conditions, whatever the reason might be, you weigh and measure the risk and the benefit, and you decide to do that, and it's under the advisement of your trusted personal physician, that's great. If that's what you think is best for you. But before you go and make that decision on behalf of your minor children, I want you to listen to this. Johns Hopkins faculty member Marty McCary wrote in the Wall Street Journal last week, he and his research team reviewed 48,000 cases of COVID-19 in children under the age of 18. These are cases reported to the CDC. They investigated these cases. Quoting, our report found a mortality rate of zero among children without pre-existing medical conditions such as leukemia, morbid obesity, and so forth. Zero. Do you realize what that rate is? The rate of zero is zero. Not one child of health that did not have a serious pre-existing condition, which is what shows up in all of these other deaths, not all, in most of the deaths attributed to COVID, pre-existing comorbidity conditions that are significant, like, oh, I don't know, heart attack, cancer. It's important that you note, parents, not one out of 48,000 cases, not one child died. Now, they say, the CDC, that 335 children with a COVID diagnosis died. McCary, professor of the Johns Hopkins at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, Bloomberg School of Public Health, and Carey Business School. Yet the CDC, quoting, which has 21,000 employees, hasn't researched each death to find out whether COVID caused it or if it involved pre-existing medical conditions. McCary and his researchers did. They looked at each and every one of the deaths. He said, I've written hundreds of peer-reviewed medical studies. And I can think of no journal editor who would accept the claim that 335 deaths resulted from a virus without data to indicate if the virus was incidental or casual and without an analysis of relevant risk factors such as obesity. The question is this, parents. Not one. Your children are, unless there's an underlying health issue, statistically are not at risk. Consult with your physician, but know the science, the information, the facts, because God knows the mainstream media is not going to provide them to you. I want you to make an informed choice, not my choice. An informed choice for you and your children. Mayor Greg Brednicki next.
You are-
are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Five minutes past the hour. It is hour number three of the morning show with Preston Scott. Good to be with you this morning. I got to thinking about something and almost mispronounced my own name. Ethan Burdett over there in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. It is show 4516, America Held Hostage, Day 190. And it is July 28th. I can't believe we're about to polish off the seventh month of the year. And joining us is the mayor of Panama City, Greg Brednicki. Mayor, how is every little thing?
Doing good. How about you?
Man, if I got any better, I'd be twins.
Two guys that good looking.
No, sir. You know darn good and well there's a reason why I'm on the radio. Let's talk about the commission meeting that took place yesterday morning. How'd things go?
Pretty good. We got some less fireworks than the last time, but we actually got some really neat things done yesterday, talking about the infrastructure money that we're going to be getting from the state. We voted yesterday on that. The first tranche has come in, and we're actually getting $113 million. 25% of that is totally forgivable. Thank you, the citizens of Florida. And the rest of it is a loan with no interest, and that is to go in and redo above and below on our infrastructure and roads and everything else because of hurricane damage. So it will not fix everything, but it will give us a damn good start.
Mayor, tell me a little. We have talked at length over the last many months in the wake of Michael and the damage done that you had to borrow money just to get the debris, the damage out of the way. Where is the city with regard to that money that had to be borrowed? Has that all been paid back?
Oh, Lord, no. We haven't gotten all of the money back yet just to pay for that. I think we've got about two-thirds of the $105 or $10 million we spent on Category A and B expenses to pick up debris and to fix different things to do with our water system and sewer system so that we could get back online. So a lot of that money, we're still paying, last time I checked, around $6,000 a day in interest. So slowly but surely, but if they moved as fast as regular business moved, then our interest cost would be reduced and it would help our taxpayers out because who the hell else is going to pay it? So we're hoping that the legislature was considering starting to pay that interest or pay reimburse us for that interest. And if they did, that would be an incentive to get off the checkbook sooner, make decisions, and pass the money out so that it doesn't cost everybody that extra wasted money, because every dime in interest doesn't fix anything.
Does that decision come from the state or from the federal?
Federal. It passes through the state, but those are federal FEMA decisions.
What does Dr. Neil Dunn, your congressional representative, and ours for parts of our area where we live in District 2, what does he tell you about that?
He's taken the gloves off and really went to bat for us. You know, I've known Neil a long time. He was my urologist for many years. We were intimately acquainted. And so he's a very staunch guy, really good business guy, not just a doctor with a degree, very, very astute. And he has gone to bat for us so many times with the federal government on all of these FEMA issues and introduced some legislation regarding, he was part of introducing some of that legislation on the interest. So he's well aware of those situations. He lives two streets over from me.
Well, there went that neighborhood. All right, Mayor, stand by. Mayor Greg Brodnicki with me. And we're going to keep talking about what's going on in and around Panama City as we continue on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Live, local, and laughter. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All right, 10 minutes, 11 minutes after the hour now with the mayor of Panama City, Greg Brodnicki. And Mayor, you were talking about that infrastructure money coming in. What's the pecking order on projects that get the money first, that get worked on first?
We've identified what we refer to as the hot zones, and those are the most dated, the most impaired. And so there's a sheet and a chart. You know, our city manager, former general, well, I guess once you're a general, you're always a general, but his organizational skills on putting together things systematically applies here. And so we have, all we're waiting for now is to go out to bid on some of the first projects that are the most dated, that are the most destroyed. A lot of the areas where we had the most trees, there was the most damage, you know, because those were missiles in a lot of areas. So yeah, we have a system in place to get all that stuff done. And just unfortunately, it takes time, but we will be ready. When they hand us the funds, we're ready to go. It's not like we got to start planning now. We know we're going to get it, so we're going to be ready when we get it.
In the commission meeting yesterday, one of the things that I think a lot of folks in the area will be kind of excited about is the redesign of the historic Martin Theater. Some progress made there.
Yeah, we've redone the outside, and it is spectacular. So now we have the architects to we signed a contract with the architects yesterday to redesign the inside. That's going to be a real showplace for downtown. The outside's beautiful now, and restored a lot of that stuff back to its original status. And so it's something that we need. We need that that art, that culture, those things that will attract people downtown. And so now we'll move forward. And we were able to get FEMA money for that. We were able to you had insurance money for that. There was a lot of different sources of revenue to be able to turn that into something that, hadn't it not been for the storm, it would have probably not ever come back to what we're going to make it now.
You know, with all this talk in the early part of our visit together here, Greg, we've talked a lot about Hurricane Michael related things, and here we are right now staring the teeth of the storm season right in the face. I mean, August, September, October, as you well know, that's when we really start to pay attention. In your opinion, is the community ready?
Well, you know, this comes on the heels of Michael, and we had a good dose of Sally. So, you know, people now kind of stay ready. I think that their resiliency and their toughness has been tested. And so now I think that if we could have a storm worse than Michael, I don't want to see it. So I believe just from even our kids with what they had to do with school and the COVID and everything else are pretty tried and tested. And I think that people now will be able to handle just about anything that they're handed.
You know, here locally, property values, and I think really across the state, property values are climbing. You and I talked a couple months ago about the fact that things are really improving in and around Panama City. Bay County Schools proposing a rollback. What about the city with regard to property tax?
Yeah, we've set the top millage that we could vote to approve yesterday, and it is what our millage was last year. So we will work in a couple of budget workshops to see if we can get it lower than that, but we will not have a property tax increase in the city this year.
Other than if values go up. Technically, I guess if there's not a rollback, then the millage is technically, if it stays the same, then if values are up, there is technically a tax increase, right?
That's true. Absolutely. You're smarter than I thought, yes.
That's the first time I think I've ever heard those words. Greg, stand by. We've got a little bit more to talk about with the mayor of Panama City, Greg Brednicki, as we continue on the morning show with Preston Scott.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart's radio station.
Few moments here with the mayor of Panama City, Greg Brednicki, getting a lot of email response, Greg, to the zinger that you didn't know I was that smart. See,
I'm a comedian.
Well, what you don't know is that happens to be the only issue I'm actually knowledgeable about is the property tax issue. That's the only thing of everything that I talk about over 20 years that I ever have known anything about. So
I hit the nail on the head. Then.
Yeah, right. It's the one issue that I probably might even know better than you.
Probably.
Hey, tell me. Tell me about the Black Masonic Lodge and the stories surrounding that. Obviously, to some in the community, it is an iconic building that means an awful lot. Is there any chance of saving it, or talk me through kind of what happened there?
Well, that's going to be a real tough call because since the storm, there's been issues with, okay, let's go ahead and get something done about it. And there's been a lot of procrastination. Now, some of it's justified because you're waiting for the prices to go down and the people to be available to do stuff to it and look at it and all that. But it's gotten to the point now where we do have, where the roof has caved in and it's almost leaning on the building next to it. So, what we have done, and we've been back and forth with the guys involved, and I appreciate anybody that's got a passion for their craft and really wants to do something to save it historically. But so the onus is going to be on them to get engineers to get a report that somebody's willing to put their stamp on that it can be fixed. Now, we can't wait another 2 or 3 months or 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, they got 10 days to get this stuff to us, and then we will make the determination about that. No more procrastination. We've got to have those reports that will justify that some engineer is willing to stamp that says, yes, it can be repaired. Yes, I don't know what it's going to cost, but we've got to make sure that we keep it safe for our citizens. If some kid goes in there and it's already part of the roof is already fallen, okay? If somebody goes in there, somebody walks in there and walks around and gets hurt, and we've let it lay fallow for this amount of time, you know they're not going to blame the group. They're going to blame us because we didn't do our job. We've got to do our job.
So to borrow from Lloyd Christmas in the movie Dumb and Dumber, you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that's not in my wheelhouse. You know, I'm an accountant by trade, not an engineer. So I'd say, you know, we're gonna give them that much time, and I hope it can be, you know, and I hope it's gonna be cost feasible to do it. But at the end of the day, the way it looks now, looks like it's gonna have to be wrecked because it's just that damaged, you know.
Greg, thanks so much. I know you got to run, you got a meeting, you got to get to, and I appreciate you making time for us this morning. We'll talk again next month.
Anytime. Thank you. Appreciate you. Appreciate your group.
Thank you, sir. Greg Brednicki, Mayor of Panama City, my group. You're part of my group.
Group of two.
Today. Uh-huh. Yeah. When Grant's here, it's a group of three. I throw in the research assistants, and it's a group of three. I've got a senior researcher, and then I have all kinds of associate research assistants. And so as a team, I would say fairly, I probably have a team, not a staff. A staff implies payment. A team of seven or eight. A staff of three. And so, yeah, there you go. That's the lay of the land here on the morning show. No low budget item are we. Of course, now we're getting no FEMA money. No matter what damage is done, there is no FEMA money available to this radio program. We have to just make it happen on our own. We don't get any taxpayer money around here. No. And when we're giving away cash at the top of each hour, that's cash of a private business. That's not taxpayer money. That's our money. That's what we do. We say, here you go. Here you go. Need a little boost in the wallet? Need a little bit more padding back there? We'll help you out. Just take a chance. It's not a lottery. It's just take a chance. Doesn't cost you a thing, but a little time and maybe standard messaging and data rates might apply. When we come back, Matt Staber will join me. He's with Liberty Counsel. So the VA can force its employees to get a vaccine, huh? California, New York thinking the same? You think so? Matt Staber with the Liberty Counsel. He's the founder. He's the CEO. He's the lead counsel. Disagrees with that summary. We'll get his legal opinion next.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
You can't handle the truth.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Thirty-five minutes after the hour here on the morning show with Preston Scott. Good morning, Wednesday, July 28th, show 4516. Really pleased to have with us, kind enough to make time for us this morning on short notice, Matt Staber. He is head of the Liberty Counsel. We've had Matt on the program several times. He's the founder, chairman, and knows the law a whole lot better than any of us. Matt, good morning. Thanks so much for making time, and welcome to the show again.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
Matt, in response to the Department of Justice seemingly rendering an opinion to clear the way for the VA as well as states of California, New York City, or New York perhaps, but New York City for certain, to require some or all government employees to get vaccinated, or tested weekly. They're saying that even though it is an emergency vaccine, has not been approved by the FDA, it doesn't matter. Your view of their opinion?
Well, I read this opinion, and it is the strangest opinion that I've ever seen, because several times in this opinion, it clearly reiterates the clear language of the emergency use authorization law and the clear statement of the FDA with regards to these COVID shots. And the bottom line is it says several times that this must be something free informed consent, and that the consent form must say that you have a choice and no one can force you to take this drug or this injection. They say that over and over again. And then they actually conclude, well, really what it's saying is that you only have a right to get that informed information on a piece of paper or verbally. Now, that makes no sense. You have a right to be informed, and the information says no one can force it on you. And then they force it on you. I mean, that's the absurdity of this particular result-oriented opinion. Because, again, several times, they clearly say what the law says and what the FDA says. And then they say, well, we're going to interpret it a completely different way. So, you know, when you get an informed consent that's required by law under the emergency use authorization, which the FDA reiterated as well, and it says you cannot be forced to have the shot. They say, well, you can be forced to have the shot. That's not what it really means. I mean, it's absurd. So the problem is that, first of all, they're saying to the VA, the largest healthcare institution in the country, that within 8 weeks you have to be fully shot with these different COVID shots or you're going to be terminated. We've received a lot of inquiries and pleas for help from doctors, psychiatrists, nurses, all the different kinds of people in the dental world as well, all the different medical kinds of professionals that you would have in the VA. And they are very concerned. They don't want to get this. And yet many of them have worked for years with the VA and their jobs are now being threatened. And now we also hear that Biden is considering later this week to force this on all federal employees. This is just the absurdity to clearly violate federal law and to force this, which we know has significant health consequences to many people who have taken these shots. Almost 500,000 people have now reported adverse reactions, and we're at 11,000, almost 500 reported deaths, and many people have suffered paralysis or are continuing to do so.
Matt Staver with us this morning. Matt is the CEO. He is the founder, chairman, whatever title you want to give it, but he is our hero with the Liberty Council. And Matt, stay with us. We're going to talk just a few more minutes about this because I've long wondered, and I've asked it all morning long, why do we have to wait for there to be a victim before we see something like this get in front of a judge? We'll talk with Matt about that and more as we continue here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
The first to know, The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
In case you're wondering why this matters so much, this is the type of thing that to me becomes a ground zero event. If this type of interpretation is left to stand by the Department of Justice and people start getting forced to get vaccines across the country that oppose them for whatever the reason, then we are all at risk of being forced. And Matt, is this the issue here for you? I mean, we haven't even touched on the religious exemption yet.
Right, it is the issue. There's a broader freedom issue. People ought to have the choice to determine what they're going to put in their body, especially when it's experimental and in the investigational stage. But in addition to that, there is the religious freedom component that many people have for various reasons, whether it's the pro-life component or whether it's a broader religious accommodation. We're working with hundreds and literally hundreds and hundreds of people around the country to get opted out of these particular vaccines or these shots. because they're being forced, whether they're students or employees, against their will, despite their medical condition. In fact, there's a girl in Hawaii. The school there says you got to have a shot. In 2019, she developed Guillain-Barré syndrome because of a vaccine. The doctors have said you can't have this shot. You could actually die. She was actually paralyzed for some time and in the hospital. Notwithstanding, the school says, well, then you can't come to this school. I mean, it's just absurd. And you, before the break, said, do we need to wait for a victim? The problem is we have hundreds of thousands of victims. At the same time, I'm receiving these pleas from people around the country, VA and other workers, because of this recent mandate. I also have in my information that's coming to me from individuals, a doctor who is treating four patients with reactions. One of them is a 19-year-old girl who took the shot. Now she's a quadriplegic. I have a woman who works in a nursing home and a rehabilitation center. She says they're getting all kinds of people with these adverse reactions from shots, and it starts off with numbness and then weakness in one arm, then the next, and then they go into a jelly-like phase, and then they die. And it's just so sad. I got an email from a friend that says she and her daughter took the shot. Now they're having all kinds of problematic complications, and she's pleading for help to try to see how she addresses it now. So we have lots of victims, and that's the problem. This should be an individual choice. People should be fully informed of the consequences of either taking it or not taking it, and the reactions based upon their particular physical makeup or what we do know, and we know a lot. And to then force this on individuals under threat that they'll be fired or that they'll be booted out of school is just unbelievable, because this is the biggest assault on freedom I've ever seen. And if they can get away with this, and if they can reinterpret clearly stated law simply because they have an objective they want to achieve, then, you know, then they can do anything. I mean, and that's why this is such an incredible issue for our future, for our present, and certainly for our freedom.
Matt, in closing, let's circle back to, I agree, there are already victims, but as it relates to this declaration by the Department of Justice, the usual way that guys like me observe these stories is, well, there has to be someone that has standing before the law is challenged. Why wouldn't something like this that has so much impact on public health have to go before even the United States Supreme Court before it's enacted?
Well, you know, it should, but, you know, we're working with a lot of people right now, and we are preparing lawsuits around the country, and we're being inundated, but we will be taking action because this is clearly a violation of the law in many respects, many laws, not just the emergency use authorization, but many laws, and we're not going to allow people to just simply be bullied to have something put in their body that could ultimately injure them or, in the worst case scenario, even kill them.
Matt, thank you so much for what you do, and I thank you so much for making time for joining me this morning. Thank you, and we'll talk again.
Thanks. God bless.
All right. Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. He's been a frequent guest over the years, and I can only tell you, support him, because they take these cases pro bono. Did you hear the numbers that they're representing across the country? It's insane. And that's why this was the big story in the press box today. 46 minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
One, two, three, four.
Man, this show has moved by fast. It's crazy. I gotta stop? Can't believe the stack of things I have over here. Oh well, it was worth it. It was a very focused show today. This doesn't happen very often, where except for the interviews with our mayors, we were laser focused on COVID intel, and I'm grateful that the response has been so positive. Wait, what? Yeah, exactly. And my thanks to Matt Staver. I reached out to Matt late last night, and I said, hey, bud, this came across today. I need you. And Holly Mead, and she handles media at Liberty Council, was like, done. If you can bump it to 8 o'clock hour instead of the 7 o'clock hour, Matt is your man. I can't begin to tell you what Matt Staver and his team of attorneys have done for the cause of liberty and religious freedom across this country over the years for nothing. Literally, pro bono. And so to those of you that support Liberty Council with your donations, that's how they do what they do. And they are standing in the gap, and they're winning cases. They will win this. But these are important issues. Hey, speaking of winning and losing, I heard an interesting discussion the other day. Do you win silver in the Olympics or do you lose gold? It's an interesting discussion.
I'd call second best in the world a win.
Well, and that was the theory with exceptions. For example, U.S. men's basketball. That's losing gold. That if you don't win it, you've lost gold. That's not winning silver. That's losing gold.
I think it'd also be valid to say it's a matter of perspective.
No, it wouldn't.
No. Not for what you just said about the men's basketball team. I just mean like from an individual athlete perspective.
Oh, yeah, I mean each athlete, each situation is different. For the U.S. men's basketball team, the prohibitive favorites. For U.S. women's soccer, the prohibitive favorites. And hear me now. In a sport where it's really not up to judges' scores. See, that's why I take that. I think winning silver for U.S. women's gymnastics team, because it's so subjective. It's based on what the judges see. Diving. Judges. Swimming? Nope. Nope. Swimming's win or lose. But you can win silver. You know, there are only a handful of prohibitive favorites in swimming. There are some, like Katie Ledecky in the distances in women's swimming. She's a prohibitive favorite. She's just better than everybody in the world. She's Michael Phelps as a chick. I mean, that's what she is. She's a brilliant swimmer. But men's basketball, women's soccer, I think you can say that if they don't win it, they lost. They lost gold. I just thought it was an interesting mental gymnastics that you go through when you have a discussion like that. Losing gold versus winning silver. It's just such an interesting thing. I think that's a fun topic.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
I don't know if this tells you much, but there are a couple of things in today's program that I'm holding on to and putting in a file. See, when I hold on to a story or something, I think that says something. And so for me, I'm holding on to some data here that we're going to visit again at some point. I promise you. Department of Justice declaring vaccine mandates legal? No, they're not. No, they're not. And any employer, any public entity thinking going that route, you better think twice because you're facing lawsuits and you will lose. You will lose. When I make statements like that, historically over the years, I've been proven right because I trust people that know the law. But tomorrow we'll tee it up all over again. Tomorrow, a very different show. I hope you'll join us. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.